10 miles per hour. And out there on the Monterey Bay, we're going to have the southeast winds, 10 knots, becoming west, 10 to 20 knots in the afternoon. And wind waves less than 2 feet, becoming 3 feet in the afternoon, with a west swell of 4 to 6 feet at 12 seconds. Tonight, the northwest winds 15 to 25 knots, becoming northeast 10 knots after midnight. Wind waves 2 to 4 feet, west swell 4 to 6 feet at 11 seconds. On Sunday, east winds 10 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 4 to 6 feet at 11 seconds, and patchy fog. Current temperatures, it's 55 degrees in Watsonville, 54 in Monterey, and 54 in Salinas. We're at 56 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. The official time is 10:06 and 59 seconds on this Saturday, October 24th, 2009. And up next, Saturday special. And MZ is in the studio looking good.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Oh, you always say that to me.
No! When did I say that last?
I don't know.
Okay, so you sound like you're tired.
I am a little tired.
What happened?
We had friends come in from out of town last night.
Oh, they kept you up all
night.
Yeah,
so it was a rough time getting up this morning, but I made it.
You sure did.
Yes.
You know how I can tell? Because I can see you right there.
Oh, right through the window.
You're not a figment.
I'm not.
No. So listen, with all the horrible things happening in the world today, I had a pretty good positive week. What about you?
Mine was... It was pretty, actually, we had a situation, too. I mean, it was kind of iffy, but I worked a lot. I'm a little tired.
Work. Well, let's continue with our work here on everybody's favorite radio station.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
Good morning, y'all. Welcome to hour number one of the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO, your official, sustainable. Yeah, your official sustainable radio station. That's what happened to me this week. I had an epiphany, and we'll talk a little bit about that.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
So last week, this time, last Saturday, October 17th, was the 20th anniversary of the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake. And to mark that occasion, your favorite radio station invited the public to come down to the station and go through a tour of the facility that, along with the people at KSCO back in those days, kept everybody informed. And it was an immensely successful event. I don't know, at least a couple hundred people toured through KSCO and KOMY facilities here at 2300 Portola Drive. And at the end of the tour, they were treated to a nice T-shirt and a visit with Kay. Yep, pretty cool, huh? Aren't you feeling horrible if you didn't make it last week? Because you missed out on a KSCO Epicenter Earthquake T-shirt and a chance to meet with Kay herself at the terminus of the tour. So yeah, that was fun. And also people got to have Marianne's ice cream sandwiches or bars for free as an expression of our esteem. Now I was hoping that Sam Lieberman would be the guest today on the Saturday special. He is the owner of Marianne's Ice Cream since 1958. Oh, my God, 51 years. 51 years, that's amazing. And he let me know in no uncertain terms that while he would like to come on and tell the story of Marianne's Ice Cream, today is his 80th anniversary of his birth. And he wasn't going to do anything except sleep in for the first time in his life. So, happy birthday, Sam Lieberman. And we're going to get to hear all about the Marianne's Ice Cream story on the next Saturday special, 1 week from today. And you're going to be hearing promo for that Saturday special all during the next week. Now, I am very, very excited about that because since I was a little kid, I've been eating that ice cream, and it's wonderful, and I guess that's why I look the way I do. I'm not that fat, just a few extra pounds, right? Would you say?
No. Why are you calling yourself fat?
I'm not that fat, just a few extra pounds. You know, it's one of the things that you check on Match.com, you know, a few extra pounds. So I figured.
So wait a second. You are on Match.com?
Well, why not? Might as well have some fun.
I've done that before.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Anything come of it?
It was interesting. I had some really crazy little dates and then some really cool dates.
Well, I'm very, very particular, so I don't go on.
Really?
Anything, but the ones I go on are memorable.
Yeah? Have you gotten any hits?
Nothing really worthwhile.
Right.
I mean, just about everybody's interesting enough to become a friend.
Oh yeah,
you
totally.
Know, but beyond that, it's just, you know, it's not going to happen easy with me because I'm super, super particular. And of course, anybody who has half a brain is going to be super particular about me.
Well, and then also too, like one thing I noticed is when you fill out all those questions.
Yeah.
It's really difficult, and how the heck do they compile it and tell and show you how to match who you are with someone else?
Oh, they say, you know, it's, that eHarmony thing. I did that for a while. And,
yeah.
And we met. I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, and we matched you on 29 issues of compatibility.
Yeah, compatibility, blah, blah,
what
blah.
What a bunch of BS.
You know what? Compatibility is so
ethereal.
Yes. Thank you. Yep. Yeah. I don't know. So this different one is just you are doing the meeting. Match.com, it's like they don't match you.
They sort of do, but, you know, they.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like they think they send you 5 candidates a day. Email.
Okay.
Just to let you know that they're doing something.
Yeah.
It's like when they have these events where everybody wins something.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do we get off on that kind of tangent?
Okay.
So because I couldn't get Sam today, we did sign him up for next week again to stress that. That left us with no guest at all today. And this has never happened before. Now, I'm only kidding. It happens a lot, as you know. And when that happens, we tend to make it an open mic type program, which means that the callers can control the content. It can be caller driven. If you want to bring up a particular topic, I want to share with people, you know, some of the positive events that I referred to earlier that happened this week. I attended the Think Local First get together. It was, I guess, it's the annual membership drive, and our own Michael Olson, the general manager of KSCO Radio here, is one of the mucky mucks, one of the two or three big mucky mucks of that organization, and he has done an amazing job of growing that organization, and it's one heck of an organization to be involved in. So much of what happens in talk radio and in the world today, you know, pits people against each other and causes all kinds of strife and angst and, you know, us against them and you're liberal and you smell, you stink because you're not conservative and vice versa. You know, I'm getting sick of all that. I think there's too much of that on this station. I really do. It's true, you get ratings when there's, but I'm getting tired of it, and I'm sensing that there's some change in the wind that is desperately needed. Are you going to nod your head, or are you going to continue chewing?
I'm nodding my head.
And chewing. Good.
I'm done.
Okay, so you agree with me? No, it's okay to chew. I mean, we all have to chew.
Yeah. So what do you mean, though? What kind of change?
I think people are tired of being so polarized. And, you know, we've talked about this many times before on the Saturday special, how I don't remember a time in my almost 58 years that our country and world seemed so polarized. Can't we all just get along type thing? Why is it that way? Are there some forces at work that are trying to divide us and make it so that, you know, we can't have an harmonious world? I don't know. So anyhow, the Think Local First event on Thursday evening at Ledyard's, I met people I haven't seen in 20 or 30 years.
Sweet.
I was really happy to see people, and there were a lot of these people are from different political persuasions, the kind of people who wouldn't be caught dead listening to the Rush Limbaugh radio station, you know. But, you know, when you attend an event like that and you come in contact with such people and you find that it's nice to be able to show yourself as being just regular human people who care about a lot of the same things. And I encouraged a lot of people whom I've known for years ago who are pretty left-wing type people to use the radio station, to use KSU, just because we have Rush and just because, you know, the station does tend to attract more conservative callers. It doesn't mean that we exclude anybody or would be rude or humiliating or, you know, intentionally humiliating to people with the different points of view. In fact, if anything, I have always tried to use the radio station to bend over backwards to be fair and reasonable to people from all points of view, even if they disagree with mine. And
well, just because you disagree politically with a station or even a, you know, a talk show host that you have, doesn't mean you can't advertise with a station, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's going to be a stretch for some people, and it's a shame.
But why?
I agree.
It is a
logic
shame.
doesn't enter into it here. I mean,
exactly.
If you believe, if you have a business to promote and grow, you're going to need to advertise it. I think. I mean, there are very few businesses that I know that can grow strictly from word of mouth advertising. That's always the best.
Yeah.
People have always said, "What's the best kind of advertising? Word of mouth advertising." Well, what's talk radio? I mean, it's more efficient, effective, mass word of mouth advertising, if you will. But that's not what we're talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is more people using the station from different points of view, so that the programs are more of more interest to a wider range of people. You know that I get disgusted when I hear the same old callers all the time, and that happens a lot on this station. Nothing against the callers; it's against us, it's against me. We're not doing something right if the same handful of callers call all the time, and we can't get any new callers. And we have been getting a lot of new callers, especially with the hosts in the afternoon, middays, with Corey Gold and Dave Corsi. A lot of new callers on those programs. Once in a while, we get a new caller on this program, or two or three. Hopefully, we will today. Anyhow, I'd like this to be to evolve into a positive. I'm just going to put it out. You know, if it happens, great. If it doesn't, well, let's hope it'll be an interesting program anyhow, okay?
Okay.
All right.
I like it.
So if you want to give us a call, 479-1080 is the phone number in area 831. Get on the 10,000-watt radio station and say your piece. And we've had someone who's been on hold for some time here. Gerald Pachinik.
Good morning.
Gerald Pachinik.
You got that right.
Good morning to you.
Hi, Mike.
Am I to understand that you're somewhere in Southern California?
Los Angeles, to be exact.
I won't hold that against you.
Well?
Nor will most of our fair-minded KSCO audience. Gerald, let me explain to our audience. Several weeks ago, our congressional, our congressperson, Sam Farr, put on a series of town hall meetings about the health care bill that's been proposed. And the meetings were not to get input from the people. The meetings were to inform the people that he, our congressman, was going to vote for the health care bill no matter how it came down, but that he wanted us to know, to convey to the best of his ability exactly what the health care bill that was proposed was going to be. Okay? He was honest, and he would say, you're not going to change my mind. I'm voting for it no matter what it is. Take that. But I just want to let you know in all these meetings that it ain't so bad. In fact, it's going to be really good, and that's why I'm going to vote for it. And so, but to Sam's credit, I mean, he listened and provided a forum for people to spout off their concerns and pat him on the back and other supporters of whatever this health care bill ends up to be. And I don't know, there must have been 10 or 12, there must have been a dozen of these town hall meetings, and KSCO carried just about all of them live. No other station did, to my knowledge, because that's our job. And so we were given accolades for carrying those town hall meetings, and to me that's just excellent use of the public airwaves to let people attend when they can't physically attend and find out what's going on. Anyhow, at one of these meetings, at the Santa Cruz meeting, I believe, at Westlake School, I encountered some demonstrators, some young people with a sign. What did the sign say, Gerald? You remember?
I think that was the one that had Obama outfitted with a mustache.
A Hitler-esque mustache?
I think that was it.
Or an Hitler-esque mustache, okay.
Yes.
And I was intrigued by that. I said, what, young people who are not buying into Obama? Now, this is very interesting. And it turned out that those young people were part of the Lyndon LaRouche campaign, I guess. And that's a name that I haven't heard for quite a number of years, 15, 20 years ago and back, you used to hear about Lyndon LaRouche all the time. And I don't know about most people, but I thought the guy was a nutcase. And I don't know about most people, but I thought the guy had long since died. But that's not the case. He's very much alive. He's, what, 87 years old?
That's exactly right.
And in a nutshell, Gerald, you have something to do with this, with the LaRouche organization, because you called me yesterday right when I was fretting over what to talk about on the Saturday special today. I figured things would always happen, and it did. Right then, you called. And so, okay, so what are you all about? What's Lyndon LaRouche all about? And obviously, you don't think he's a nutcase. And what do you help us out here?
Okay, well, I think the one thing that meeting that you just described with Sam Farr that everyone is aware of is that there were hundreds of such meetings around the country during that month of August.
Yes.
And what that mustache, that Hitler mustache on Obama, which LaRouche had said that this health care bill, as it was being proposed, this is now back in April, May, was a useless eaters bill. That is, it would establish a board modeled on what the Nazis had, which is, you, ma'am, you, sir, are too old. You, ma'am, you, sir, are too handicapped. You, ma'am, you, sir, are too demented. You are a useless eater. We cannot afford you. And therefore, we're going to have this board of unelected people, non-elected people, who are going to say that at certain age, 70, 65, 72, whatever it is, if you have a disease or you need a treatment that is costly, you're out of luck. Too bad, Chuck. So long, Sally. It's all over. And so we started a campaign. And mind you, when they introduced the bill, you can go back and look at Senator Baucus' statement. You can look at Obama's statements. It was, we're going to have this thing passed before the July 4th recess.
Yeah, I remember that.
They said
that pissed off the whole country. What are you on such a fast track for? I think it's still being viewed as on a fast track 6 months later.
Yeah, right. Now, the joke that we started telling in the streets, which caught on all around the country, was, what is the difference, if anything, between Barack Obama and God? Is there any difference? Is this guy God, or, you know, what's the story? And as far as we could tell, the only difference is that God does not think he's Barack Obama. So, you know, you have people who
wow.
thought they could get away with anything. You know, that they, whatever they said was going to go, was going to go. Now, another joke came up, which was, what's the difference between Barack Obama and Hitler? And someone said, well, you know, Hitler did get the Olympics and Obama didn't. So, you know, there is some difference.
The
idea is that what Obama and Baucus and Pelosi ran into was the fact that the American people were going to have none of their shenanigans with this useless eater's bill. And as a result of that, as a result of the literature that we circulated proving this was a T4 program.
A T4?
Yeah, T4 being the bill that Hitler passed in 1939, in actually October 1st. He signed a bill, dated it September 1st, and that bill was called Lives Not Worthy of Life. And it identified hundreds of thousands of Germans and just so you're
aware.
Is
that a document that's available on the net, perhaps?
Yes.
Yes?
You can get the documents, and, you know, we put out a series of articles. And the very first thing we did, Mike, is we mass distributed these articles right in Washington, D.C. That is, when they had the rollout events with all the top guns that came out and said, this is the bill, it's going to be passed. We stood up, the young people working with LaRouche, the same young type people that you met from the LaRouche Political Action Committee,
yeah.
Kids in their 20s, kids that have studied history, that are not going to let, in other words, we got to think in terms of the future. If we don't, you know, stop this kind of balderdash, this kind of baloney now, we have no future as a nation because we're turning our back on the citizens, on the people, and the government exists for the good, for the common good of all the people. And this is the correlation that LaRouche made, and that is sticks to this minute in an even bigger way, which is Hitler's excuse for killing the old people was, we can't afford them, we're in a war. The war started September 1st, 1939. Obama, Ezekiel Emanuel, and the other Rahm Emanuels and the other Orzak.
Yeah, those Emanuel brothers scare the hell out of me. I mean, they really do.
Well, I tell you, Mike, I'll just tell you, although I was born in New York, and I think I was born in the same borough as you, Brooklyn.
No, I wasn't born in Brooklyn. I was born here in Santa Cruz.
You were born in Santa Cruz.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm a native Santa Cruz. Other people in my immediate family, my brother and sister and both my folks were born in Brooklyn, though.
In Brooklyn, yeah. So, but I did spend the last 35 years in Chicago before I located out here in California. Only took me 57 years to get across the country. And, you know, trains are slow these days. But anyway, the Chicago is the place where the mafioso, the financial, the political strings. Obama actually is not from Chicago. He was brought into Chicago because these guys wanted a puppet. They wanted someone who would dance to their tune and that would sell out the African American and sell out the minority and poor populations, because you're supposed to bow down to him because he's, quote, half African American. So therefore, he wouldn't do anything bad to us, would he? Well, what he has done, and this is where the analogy that we identified, that this board, like Hitler had a board of unelected people who said, this person dies, it's too costly, you know, and this person, okay, well.
If you want to make a pro-healthcare reform in the United States person go ballistic, you bring up the death panel thing. And say, oh, that's from Fox News, and they made that up, and they're no good, and da-da-da-da-da-da. But you're saying that that's a real, true thing, the death panels. I mean, that's
that
just
is
a way.
Absolutely. Maybe we should have said there's more than one death panel. There's probably about five of them, because what they're doing is even worse for this reason. You heard from Obama over and over, the number one cause of the deficit of the U.S. government is the health care cost. It's the health care cost. We're going to stop that, blah, blah, blah. Now, as of October, it came out. The number one cause of the deficit of the U.S. government is the bailouts of Goldman Sachs, the bailouts of J.P. Morgan Chase, the bailouts of the other major banks, while the smaller banks, the community banks, the banks that lend to the businesses of Santa Cruz and Monterey, et cetera, they're being allowed to die. They ain't getting no bailouts. So in order to keep the shenanigans going of bailouts of financial speculative paper, which according to the government's own, what they call the Inspector General of the Treasury, a Mr. Neil Barofsky, who has now testified twice in Congress, the bailout, you know, what was called the TARP, Troubled Asset Relief Program, and other programs,
yep,
is now cost the government, wait, hold on to your hat on this one, $23 trillion. $23 trillion. So they're saying health care is the problem. You know, that is just complete sophistry, otherwise called lying, you know.
Gerald, I never really talked to you, before yesterday. I mean, you called, I think, a few days before or something, sent
right.
me some information, which I didn't really have a chance to read. But what you're telling me now, it doesn't seem all that far-fetched. In fact, it seems pretty logical. Let me diverge just a minute here. Don't normally do this, but I want to do a little bit of reading here, and this is right out of Wikipedia. I Googled Lyndon LaRouche, and this came up here. Wikipedia is edited by, you know, anybody, and you know, it usually comes out pretty accurate here. Lyndon Hermile LaRouche Jr., born September 8th, 1922, is an American self-styled economist, political activist, and the founder of several political organizations known collectively as the LaRouche Movement. He has been a perennial candidate for president of the United States, having run in 8 elections since 1976, once as a U.S. Labor Party candidate, and 7 times as a candidate for the Democratic Party nomination. He is the founder and contributing editor of the Executive Intelligence Review and has written prolifically on economic, scientific, and political topics, as well as on history, philosophy, and psychoanalysis. He was sentenced to 15 years imprisonment in 1988 for conspiracy to commit mail fraud and tax code violations, but continued his political activities from behind bars until his release in 1994 on parole. His defenders believe the prosecution was a politically motivated conspiracy involving government officials and a mass media brainwashing campaign. His appellate attorney, Ramsey Clark, a former U.S. Attorney General, argued that the case represented an unprecedented abuse of power by the U.S. government in an attempt to, or in an effort to destroy the LaRouche movement. I'm only going to read another paragraph here. LaRouche provokes sharply contrasting views. His supporters see him as the greatest living economist, a political leader in the tradition of Roosevelt and Martin Luther King Jr., and a brilliant thinker who has been unfairly persecuted, while critics regard him as a cult leader, conspiracy theorist, fascist, and anti-Semite. Norman Bailey, formerly with the National Security Council, described LaRouche's staff in 1984 as one of the best private intelligence services in the world, while the Heritage Foundation has said he leads what is possibly one of the strangest political groups in American history. So that's Lyndon LaRouche. And what's your connection with Lyndon LaRouche? You must know the man, am I right?
You're right. I met the man in 1973 in New York.
What was the occasion?
The occasion was a conference that was held right around Thanksgiving. I was on a break. I went to school in upstate New York in Binghamton. I was coming back to Brooklyn for the Thanksgiving break, and a friend of mine in school who had been reading some of the literature said, hey, why don't you come over to this conference? And I did, and at that particular conference, LaRouche was calling for a doubling of food production around the world, and this is something that, you know, Mike, I think you and I are about the same age.
Yeah, I'll be 58 in November.
I'll be 58 in May.
Uh-huh.
I can remember, and this is perhaps, if people, instead of looking at the news from the standpoint of yesterday, the day before, but try to look at a longer arc. Look at a period, say, you know, say from when we were young, say 50 years ago. You know, John Kennedy was president.
Yeah.
We had a commitment, you know, which was typified on the question of the frontiers of science. And Kennedy made a speech, probably anyone remembers who's of that age, that we're going to put a man on the moon, you know, within a decade.
Yeah.
And by God, we put a man on the moon within a decade, although I'm sure, you know, did anyone know exactly how it was going to be done? No. But we said, if we put our minds to it as a nation, if we mobilize the collective genius of science, of technology, of a kind of sense of a mission, that a nation has a mission, and what spilled over to me from that was, well, if we could put a man on the moon, we could end starvation. Why should anyone in the world starve? Why can't we, you know, kind of like what you were saying at the top of the show, why all this people fighting each other over crumbs? And the central point LaRouche was making at that conference is that the center of how you defeat those forces, those political forces who run what you might think of as empires, as the idea of divide and conquer, get people fighting each other. The central way you do that is you put forward programs and solutions that are based on making a bigger pie. Just like if you had 10 kids sitting around a table and one pie, the kids are going to fight over the crumbs. But if you have 10 kids around the table and you make 10 pies, everyone is going to be happy and friendly. And that's the principle. There's no reason with creativity, with the development of science, I remember we want to stop starvation in Biafra, which was part of Nigeria.
Sure.
In the early 60s.
And these hunger projects that continue to this day, you know.
Yeah, so. But the idea is that LaRouche was on the idea that this should be the basis of collaboration among governments. And that is, number one, why he's been so, on the one side, covered up, even though he did run for president as that thing you read from Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's like he hasn't surfaced for like a dozen years or so. I mean, am I right?
Well,
I haven't heard anything about Lyndon LaRouche until I went to that Sam Farr meeting.
Yeah.
And saw the young people demonstrating.
Well, LaRouche has kept very, very busy in terms of writing, and in the last 10 years, as I said, I'm your age, 50s, there's been a major growth of the movement among young people. Now, mind you, for the World War II generation, most people remember where they were when Franklin Roosevelt died. In other words, Franklin Roosevelt, you know, was the leader that embodied a compassionate commitment to the development of the general welfare. And certainly what Franklin Roosevelt did in the midst of the Depression by having the bank holiday and shutting off the speculation and then putting credit into the economy to build the physical economy, we all benefited from the dam projects, the rural electrification projects, the infrastructure projects. In fact, that's probably what kept the country going into Kennedy's time. So whereas Franklin Roosevelt and then Kennedy was trying to revive Roosevelt's spirit in the United States with the space program, with his issuing treasury notes instead of...
Well, someone killed Kennedy, and a lot of people think it was the CIA behind
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it wasn't a lone assassin.
Yeah, I am sure of that, too. And I didn't know until it... doesn't mean anything, all the talk in the world, but you got to visit Dealey Plaza, and then you realize that there is no way it could
That's
be
right.
a lone assassin.
I visited so. Exactly that spot in Dallas, and I totally agree with you. And the majority of people know it. So as far as our generation of baby boomers, what's happened is the fact that they could kill a president who was not a perfect president by any stretch. I'm not trying to say he's perfect, but he did have this commitment. And Kennedy met with General MacArthur and also talked to Eisenhower, and they told him, do not get involved in land wars in Asia. That is a death trap. And Kennedy listened to them and was not, there never would have been this horrible escalation of Vietnam had Kennedy lived. But just to get to the present on LaRouche, the young people that their whole lives have been shaped by 9/11, that was the singular event, you know, that was the thing they know. What is going on? How did this happen? Not that I want to discuss that, but I'm just trying to point out to the listeners that if you think about the longer sweep of history, that from the time of Franklin Roosevelt, when we conquered the Depression, we won World War II, we had the industry rolling, we could have rebuilt the world, we could have ended all colonialism at the end of World War II, then your life, Mike, and my life, and every one of your listeners' lives would have been totally different. If we had cooperation, if we had reconstruction, and that is what FDR wanted to do. He wanted to take those factories in Detroit, in Chicago, in San Francisco, all over, that had built the arsenal of democracy and defeated the Nazis, and he wanted to turn that into a capability to end colonialism, what Franklin Roosevelt called 18th century British colonial methods. And Franklin Roosevelt was very explicit in the conferences that he had with Churchill, with Stalin, with Chiang Kai-shek, that we were going to have American methods and not British colonial methods after World War II. And if that had occurred, the whole history of our lives would have been totally different. And, of course, the unfortunate thing is Roosevelt died April 12, 1945, and in came a little man, Harry Truman, who did not share Roosevelt's view of ending colonialism, but did ally himself with Churchill who had told Roosevelt in those conferences, Franklin, we did not fight the war to lose the British Empire. And Franklin Roosevelt said, Winston, you and your 18th century British methods, you don't understand America. America is an anti-colonial country. America's founded as a revolution against colonialism. So this is the fight that we're in today. It may not go under the name British Empire, may not go under the name colonialism. Today it's called globalization. Today it's called financial, you know, unlimited free trade, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But it's the same fight. Are we going to have nation states that are committed to the people of the nation, or are we going to have some amorphous global force that is dictating to nations what they should do or shouldn't do? And that's the issue of the health care.
Okay. Very, very interesting. Gerald Pechenek. Let me pronounce your name properly for me, please.
Pechenuk. It's a Ukrainian word that means baker.
Okay.
My father was a baker and my grandfather was a baker, so.
Okay, Gerald Pechenuk, yep. Baker here. So
yes.
We're going to take a commercial break and come back in a few minutes, and there's someone named Daniel who's on the line who's not a fan of yours nor Lyndon LaRouche's.
Great.
And we'll hear from him. I don't know where he came from. I don't know where he's from. It doesn't say. But there's a lot more on the Saturday special right after this group of commercial messages. Take it away, Nikki.
Hi, Tim Whitlow from Whitlow Concrete. Pleased to sponsor this portion of the Saturday special on KSCO AM 1080. Get ideas for your project from our website, whitlowconcrete.com, and call us at 475-4499 for a free quote. That's 475-4499.
Hi, this is Sean Thomas with BMW Motorcycles of Santa Cruz County. Here in the Central Coast, every day is a great day for riding motorcycles. And with the performance and versatility of the BMW, we think there's no better motorcycle to ride. Most riders don't realize that owning a new BMW is within their reach. New BMWs start at just $7,670. Qualified buyers can turn into riders for as little as $150 per month. BMW of Santa Cruz County believes that you should try before you buy. We carry a full selection of demonstrator bikes, including the popular F800 GS, winner of the 2009 Motorcycle of the Year, Dual Sport of the Year, and Adventure Bike of the Year. And of course, all new BMWs come standard with a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. Visit our showroom on Main Street in Watsonville or call us at 831-722-6262. You can also visit us on the web at bmwsantacruz.com.
Go to Aptos Village Park this Saturday afternoon for some Roaring Lions and Treasure. That's right. This Saturday from 1 to 5, the Cabrillo Host Lions Club is sponsoring a Trash to Treasure art show. Bring a picnic lunch, enjoy the beautiful redwoods, and get in on all the Trash to Treasure art fun and the fresh baked cookies. Hear the lions roar in Aptos Village Park this Saturday afternoon from 1 to 5. Your $1 admission will support local eye services because that's what lions do.
Are you tired of wasting your hard-earned money? Well, J&S Surplus and Outdoor Store is the place to shop for Halloween costumes you can wear all year. That's right. It's the place to shop for wild and crazy costumes that you can still use for work, camping, fun, and a whole lot more well after Halloween is over. J&S is also featuring the Pumpkin Patch and Monster Mash Haunted Graveyard. We call it the Spook Shack and the Smokestacks, where you'll tour an old MASH hospital alongside a military graveyard that appears to have gone by the wayside, but beware of the ghouls and ghosts that lurk there. This exciting haunting event is now open and runs through Halloween night. Kitty tours from 2 to 5 p.m. Thrill seeker tours from 5 to 9 p.m. J&S is your one-stop Halloween headquarters, open every day. It all happens right on Highway 1 in Moss Landing. Just look for the pirate flags outside. Or for more information and savings coupons, go online to www.surplusinc.com.
Hi, folks. Warren Knox here of Knox Roofing. Can you believe it? Summer is here already. Wow, the time is flying by. So when was the last time you had a physical? You know, a blood pressure, cholesterol check, bones looked at, stuff like that. You don't want to fall over on the side of the road to find out a simple checkup would have prevented that incident from happening. This same situation applies to your home and your roof. Time is flying by, and it might be a good idea to call Knox Roofing. That number to call is 461-0634. A simple checkup by Knox Roofing can save you a lot of problems later this winter. We make house calls. We'll give you an honest diagnosis of your roof and suggest the best cure. Okay, let's stay healthy and call Knox Roofing for all your roofing needs. That number to call is 461-0634. Thanks, folks.
This is Sylvia Panetta of the Panetta Institute for Public Policy announcing the 10th anniversary of the Jefferson Lincoln Awards. This year, we will honor three journalists who exemplify outstanding stewardship of our democracy through balanced, comprehensive, and honest journalism. The honorees are Bernard Shaw of CNN, Andrea Mitchell of NBC, and Jim Lehrer of PBS. We will present these awards at a gala dinner at the Inn at Spanish Bay on Saturday, November 7th. Seats are available. For information, call
582-4200. Welcome back to hour number one of the Saturday special. For the 24th. It is the 24th of October, isn't it? I think it is. Hope we got the... Yeah, 1024.
Yeah, you got it right. 1024-09. Yep.
Woohoo! Yeah. Nikki James is at the control, as is normal and reasonable and customary on Saturday mornings. She's the pilot in command of your favorite radio station. MZ is here hosting the Saturday special. We're talking about LaRoucheism. And Gerald Pechenek has been our guest thus far, and he will remain on the line here on hold. We're going to bring on our first caller, who is Daniel from where?
I'm from Santa Cruz.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What's your Daniel from Santa Cruz? Okay, you sound like sort of a young person. Am I right?
Yeah, relatively, I would say.
Okay, how old are you?
I'm 24.
Okay, so it says on the screen here you're not a fan of Lyndon nor of Gerald.
Well, I've heard the name Lyndon LaRouche. As you said, he hasn't really been that much in the spotlight during my lifetime. So, I mean, I wasn't really paying attention when he got in trouble in 1988 or anything. But, I don't know, I just, like, right away thought, wow, this guy is sitting here defending a guy that you called a nutcase.
Well, no, I said he. Some people think of him as a nutcase, and
look,
and
you
he
said
was,
that
he
you
was,
kind of have an opinion of him as a nutcase, and then you gave the guy the chance to defend the guy, and he sounded like a nutcase. I mean, he gives Obama way too much credit. Honestly, he compared him to Hitler, one of the most evil and sadly accomplished leaders in history, and then he compared him to God, which I always find is a really funny comparison. And I don't know who these people are that love Obama so much that he thinks they're God. But honestly, he was the first person I could vote for without, you know, puking after I left the voting booth that was from either of the major parties.
Do you still not feel like puking?
I do more and more occasionally, especially when I read about the Oath Keeper movement yesterday, which is a branch off from the Tea Partiers. The Oath Keepers are a group of military and law enforcement people who have vowed to not carry out orders from the government if they feel it's against their view of what the Constitution was written as. And I understand where they're coming from and on it, but really, if you look at the Constitution, the right to bear arms could mean, if you read it without any interpretation, it could mean you have the right to put grizzly bear arms on your wall. The right to bear arms. You have to have plural of them, though. You can't have one.
Mm-hmm.
So I really find it kind of weird the spot Obama's put in. He's put in a spot where if he doesn't do things that these people view as radical, people like me aren't going to vote for him again because we're going to see the same spineless Democrats in office.
Yeah.
Because that's a synonym for the word spineless is Democrat.
Okay.
should be in the dictionary by now or soon. And also, I mean, if he does do the things that the people that voted for him want to do, he runs a high risk of being assassinated by the talk that people have. Because, I mean, when someone carries an M16 on a flat, a picture of an M16 with the words, come take it from me, at a protest, that goes beyond peaceful protesting, in my opinion.
Wasn't it pointed out that that was a member of his own party?
Hmm?
Huh?
No, I'm saying the people protesting him that don't want him to do any of the things that people voted for him to do are not just debating the issues with him. They're bringing guns to city council meetings in Arizona. They're bringing signs with guns on them saying that that's kind of an insinuation that there's firepower to back up their debate if they don't get what they want. And I think that that's a very scary way to go about it. And in the Newsmax magazine, which is a very right-wing publication that I get just to see what they're saying online, there was an editor fired recently for pitching the idea that we may have to go to resort to a military coup to stop Obama from his evil agenda. And they let him go and said they had no contact with him really officially, except for the fact that he's listed as a senior editor for many years. And it just seems like the tone of everything has really gotten really, really dark. And I just think that it's not new. Definitely, people said some horrible things about all presidents throughout history. But I think Obama's in a spot where if he passes anything, people are going to threaten to kill him. And if he doesn't pass anything, none of the progressive voters that voted for him are going to.
Well, you could be right, Daniel. Hold on just a second here. Let's bring Gerald back on. Gerald, you heard Daniel, I assume?
Yes, I did. I heard him loud and clear.
Uh-huh.
And I would point this out, two things in terms of what he said. Number one is that as far as Lyndon LaRouche is concerned, Obama is deserving of every protection as president, and his personal safety should be guaranteed totally. And so I want to relieve Dan of any fear that this is not a movement of any kind of insanity such as that. That being said, you're absolutely right. He did promise people jobs, and there's been 5 million more unemployed since he took office. He did promise people he would stop foreclosures of homes. Now we're talking about residential homes. And in point of fact, in the quarter that just ended, which is July, August, September 2009, there was a record 937,000 foreclosures on residential homes. So I would say from the standpoint of Dan, he has every right to want to see Obama pass legislation. And what LaRouche is saying is, in fact, Dan, that there are people around Obama. There are people in the administration. There are people in advisory capacities. There are people who are economists, some right here in California, who have taken up what LaRouche has said about the difference between the physical economy and the monetary gambling speculators. And what they're urging Obama to do, and LaRouche has certainly urged Obama to do this over and over, is quit continuing the bailouts of George Bush, quit continuing the bailouts of Henry Paulson, quit continuing the bailouts of Ben Bernanke, and actually Obama should listen to what his own vice president said this week. That 15 million people out of work is a depression. It's not a recovery. And although we think, LaRouche thinks, I think, the 15 million unemployed is actually light, because they
you got to hold that thought, Gerald, because we're at the top of the hour now on KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m. Back in 6 minutes.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. With a sweep of his pen, President Obama has declared the H1N1 flu virus a national emergency. Now, what that proclamation does is allow health workers to bypass certain federal mandates. For example, waiving some requirements of Medicare and Medicaid. Meantime, cities are doing what they can to vaccinate their citizens. For example, setting up clinics. Even though cities are getting less of the vaccine than they had hoped.
We have much less vaccine than we expected to have at this time. We have in Los Angeles County about 300,000 doses that have been distributed. We had hoped to have several times that by now.
Dr. Jonathan Fielding with the Los Angeles Department of Public Health. The president is not getting up on having health care reform passed by the end of the year.
President Obama told a Massachusetts audience Friday health care reform will be completed before year's end. Some estimates suggest the price tag for the final health care reform legislation now being whittled down to one House bill and one Senate bill from five committee versions put forth in both chambers could exceed $1 trillion. In Washington, James Rosen, Fox News Radio.
Republicans talked health care reform in their weekly address, complaining the Democrats' whole concept is way too expensive. They also say the process just hasn't been open enough.
A 1,500-page bill full of carve-outs and backroom deals is currently being brokered behind closed doors.
Nevada Senator Mike Joannes, President Obama telling banks taxpayers were nice to you. Now it's time for you to be nice to them. He used his weekly address to urge banks who benefited from the bailout to be a little more generous with loans to small businesses.
It's time for those banks to fulfill their responsibility to help ensure a wider recovery, a more secure system, and a more broadly shared prosperity.
The president says far too many small businesses just can't get credit. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
They've taken your money. Now, Fox Business Network is taking them to task. Every weeknight at 7 p.m. Eastern, David Asman hosts a special series on America's Nightly Scoreboard. Tune in for exclusive reports and hard-hitting investigations that challenge Washington and expose the latest corporate corruption. You will not want to miss this nightly show when David and his team of expert reporters keep score on the issues that affect your future. Bottom line, you have questions, and only one show keeps fighting for you to get the answers. America's Nightly Scoreboard with David Asman, only on the Fox Business Network.
Do you believe in the freedom of the press, thought, speech, and worship? If your answer is yes, join the online community where you can finally be heard, thefoxnation.com. Fox Nation allows you to be a part of the tradition that has made America great. It's time to say no to biased media and yes to fair play and free speech. Be a part of the real news of America and join the online community that believes in the right to express your views, values, and voice. Join thefoxnation.com now.
The warrant's out for a member of Iraq's parliament.
An arrest warrant is out for a Sunni member of parliament. A local official in Diyala province says that a judge has asked lawmakers to lift parliamentary immunity for Taisir al-Mashadani so that she can be arrested on suspicion of ordering and funding terrorist operations. Mashadani belongs to the Accordance Front, the largest Sunni coalition. A party spokesman says the warrant is politically motivated. In Baghdad, Malini Wilkes, Fox News Radio.
Iranian lawmakers are not unhappy with an agreement drafted by the United Nations, which requires Iran to send its nuclear stockpile out of the country to be processed. That word as UN inspectors from Vienna are on their way to Iran to inspect an Iranian nuclear site that had been secret until very recently. Two American soldiers and a NATO service member, the latest to die in Afghanistan. And four civilians are dead after their van approached a military convoy in Kandahar and troops opened fire. This could be the Yankees night. Or not. Those Angels just won't quit.
The forecast calls for a good chance of rain in the Bronx for Game 6 of the American League Championship Series. Up 3-2, the New York Yankees hoping to move on to the World Series with a victory. Hoping to stop that, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim coming off a comeback Game 5 win over the Yanks. If and when that happens, pitching for the Yankees, Andy Pettit, who has 16 career postseason victories, tied for the most ever. The Angels have Joe Saunders on the mound, a 16-game winner this past season.
That's Fox News Radio's Ken Duff. coffee. The question here is, was it worth it? Cops in Paterson, New Jersey have arrested three men in connection with a burglary. Police say the men, all alleged to be armed, entered an apartment having been told a boatload of cash was inside. It appears they entered the wrong apartment. The guy who lives there fought them. All the alleged robbers got away with was a 3-foot-tall piggy bank in the shape of a beer bottle. Grand total, $2. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Here's Central Coast forecast for today. Calls for sunny skies, few clouds here and there with a high of 72, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight it's going to be partly cloudy, low of 52, west northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday looks like we're going to have some sunny skies, high of 73, and north northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the southeast winds 10 knots, becoming west 10 to 20 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 feet, becoming 3 feet in the afternoon, and a west swell of 4 to 6 feet at 12 seconds with patchy fog. Tonight, northwest winds 15 to 25 knots, becoming northeast 10 knots after midnight. Wind waves 2 to 4 feet, west swell 4 to 6 feet at 11 seconds, and on Sunday, east winds 10 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. The wind waves less than 2 feet, a west swell 4 to 6 feet at 11 seconds, and patchy fog. Current temperatures, it's 57 degrees in Watsonville, 56 in Monterey, 55 in Salinas, and we're at 58 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSEO Studios. Official time, 11:06 and 42 seconds on this Saturday, October 24th, 2009. Up next, second hour, Saturday special, MZ, KSEO Santa Cruz. I'm Nikki James.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
Never let it be said that the Saturday special is boring, unless it is. But it's not today, right? It's not boring at all today. It's very interesting.
No, it's fun.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSEO Radio. Bye.
And we got a number of folks on the line here to continue our discussion from last hour about Lyndon LaRouche and the LaRouche LaRoucheisms and so forth, LaRoucheism. But, you know, there's nothing more important than a world premiere of a new K's commentary. So listen to this, and then we will resume our discussion.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
Because I am an American Jewess and I love the truth, and because most of the world chooses to dislike Israel, especially world media, here finally are the true facts compiled by a Christian university professor. It's a crash course on the Israeli-Arab conflict today. Modern Israel became a state in 1947. The Palestinians were offered a state at the same time, but they refused. They only want Israel annihilated. Israel became a nation in 1312 BC, 2,000 years before the rise of Islam, which was recognized as a nation in the modern world in 1947. Arab refugees in Israel began identifying themselves as part of the Palestinian people in 1967, 2 decades after the establishment of the modern state of Israel. For over 3,300 years, Jerusalem has been the Jewish capital. Jerusalem has never been the capital of any Arab or Muslim entity. Jerusalem is mentioned over 700 times in the Jewish Holy Scriptures, and it is not mentioned once in the Quran. King David founded the city of Jerusalem. Muhammad never came to Jerusalem. Jews pray facing Jerusalem, while Muslims pray with their backs toward Jerusalem. In 1948, the Arab refugees were encouraged to leave Israel by Arab leaders promising to purge the land of Jews. 68% left, many in fear of retaliation by their own brethren, the Arabs. The ones who stayed were afforded the same citizenship rights as everyone else, and they still are, and some are in the Knesset making laws for Israelis. Arab refugees, forced by their Arab brethren, were intentionally not absorbed or integrated into the Arab lands to which they fled, despite the vast Arab territory. Out of the 100 million refugees since World War II, theirs is the only refugee group in the world that has never been absorbed into their own people's lands. Arab countries like to keep their brethren in camps as political pawns. Jewish refugees were completely absorbed into Israel, a country no larger than the state of New Jersey. The Arabs are represented by 22 separate nations. There is only one Jewish nation. The Arab nations initiated all five wars since 1948 and lost. Israel defended itself each time and won. The PLO's charter still calls for the destruction of the State of Israel, yet Israel has given the Palestinians most of the West Bank and other lands which were won in the five wars. The UN record on Israel and the Arabs is dismal. Of the 175 Security Council resolutions passed before 1990, 97 were directed against Israel, and of the 690 General Assembly resolutions voted on before 1990, 429 were directed against Israel. The United Nations was silent, while 58 Jerusalem synagogues were destroyed by the Jordanians. The UN was silent while the Jordanians desecrated the ancient Jewish cemetery on the Mount of Olives. In my book, the United Nations is a useless, despicable group bent on ruling the world. In the 60 years of its existence, it has been a financial burden to the U.S. and never did anything for world peace. These are incredible times. We have to ask what our role should be. What will we tell our grandchildren about what we did when there was a turning point in Jewish destiny? An opportunity to make a difference? Let's start right now. Send this to 18 other people you know and ask them to send it to 18 others, Jew and non-Jew. It doesn't really matter. The world should know the truth and stop the displaced hate against Israel. Also, ironically, when Arab leaders become ill, they always go to Israeli hospitals to be healed. Kudos to my friend Zoltan for sharing this researched historical material. For KSCO, this is Case Whirling.
Hey, Nikki, do you know what day this is? Do you? Do you know?
Saturday.
October
24th. 24th, yeah.
And what is the significance of that day?
Not gonna happen.
This is UN Day. It's United Nations Day.
Oh, really?
October 24th. No,
I didn't know that.
We just did a commentary from my mom, who it was mostly but to set the record straight about the historical, background of the Israeli-Arab conflict. Okay, and contained in that commentary that I just heard was my mother's views about United Nations, which I happen to share most of. But nonetheless, today is United Nations does do some good things, and I want to acknowledge that today is UN Day, October 24th, and the Santa Cruz County United Nations Association is planning an important celebration. The dinner and reception will be October 24th tonight, today at 5:30 p.m. at the United Methodist Church, 250 California Street. Joseph Schultz. Remember Joseph Schultz from India Joe's restaurant? Mmm, delicious. Great, great caterer. We'll cater the event, and the speaker is Denise Scotto, S-C-O-T-T-O, former social affairs officer with the United Nations Department for Economic and Social Affairs, who works extensively with the CEDAW committee. Now, I'm reading this from a Santa Cruz Sentinel article that appeared several days ago, written by Pat Arnold, who is a member of the Santa Cruz County United Nations Association and a sweet lady that I met at the Think Local First get-together, one of the many interesting people. So anyhow, wanted to put that out. I believe they're close to sold out, or maybe they are, but if that sounds like something you'd like to participate in, it's today at 5:30 p.m. at the United Methodist Church, 250 California Street, in Santa Cruz. Back to the Saturday special content now at 11:15 on AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station and mine. And let's go back to the telephone lines here. Let's see. I don't know who we were talking. We were talking with Gerald last, and Daniel. Daniel, I when you first started talking, I recognize your voice as our own Daniel here, who does a program later today.
I actually have to run away to start researching the people I'm going to interview a little bit more.
Oh, okay, good. But you've become quite the opinionated young person here, I think, which is great. I'd like to see more of that. I'd like to see more and more younger people care about what's going on in the world.
Yeah, I seem to drive away other young people with that type of mode. So I understand what you're talking about there.
You drive away people?
People that are my age, they don't want to worry about this crap, so they just, you know, go on doing their thing because they're like, oh, well, you know, like, I have to go to school and I have a job and I get bored with politics and I don't want to talk about it. So, yeah, that is a common feeling among people my age.
Right. Well, I want to salute you for caring the way you do and for participating in the radio station. And you do some great intern work around here, too. So thank you for calling. And
I just wanted to say really quickly, though,
okay.
I didn't get to my point with Gerald as far as, yeah, Obama did promise he was going to get jobs. But the progressive voters I'm talking about are people like me that are broke whether the economy's doing well or not, and we don't own houses to be foreclosed on. So if he doesn't give us health care, a lot of us aren't going to vote for him because the banking thing and the jobs thing, it's a concern to us, but it's not something that affects us directly.
Don't you think that if you got terribly ill right now that you wouldn't be – do you not think that you would be taken care of somehow?
I think I would be taken care of at the moment somehow, but I don't have any health insurance, so therefore I would probably be paying for it the rest of my life, and I don't even have student loans for that reason.
Okay. All right, Daniel. Appreciate your call.
Thanks.
You take care now, okay? Dave in Aromas, welcome to the Saturday special. You are on the air.
Well, thanks, Mike, and thanks for Daniel for your interest. And it's no doubt, man, this apathy and ignorance is just going to destroy us. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, talking about apathy and ignorance, I just wanted to – Linda LaRouche, guess, is he still here?
Yeah, he is. He's on hold.
Good. Well, I wanted to ask him, and you too. It's an interesting development here with the CAN, the Coalition for Accountability Now in New York, raising 80,000 votes, and the city just knocking them down every step of the way, and the referendum finally goes to the a justice on the New York Supreme Court, and he shuts it down on the most flimsiest of reasons. Do you know what they are, Mike?
No, I don't. Tell us.
Well, what it is, it's, you know how these referendums are, if there's a clause. If anything in this referendum is found to be unconstitutional, the rest of the referendum will be held in full force and effect.
Okay.
Well, that clause was in there, and he shut it down because he said that if there were any changes, the signers of the petition hadn't agreed to it. So it was really an invalid reason for him knocking that down. And what the point is here, Mike, is that the redress of grievances is a long-standing foundation of our democracy. If we don't have that, then what do we have? Now then, 40,000 or 30,000 signatures were needed. They raised 80, almost over twice the amount needed to get this on the ballot. And now the voters of New York City will not have the opportunity now, because we're not going to quit. I'm with the family members. You know, it's the family members that are behind this. The victim family members of 9/11 are behind this. And I'm with them 100%. I send them money. I got a T-shirt that says, I'd rather be a truther than a traitor. And this is where I'm at. And we want this investigation. And we're not pointing fingers at anybody. And I have to say that some of your, I called your, that David Corsi, and I presented the same rap when I'm presenting to you. And when it was off the air, it was like, he was like presenting it as if the petition would garnish an investigation. And not, you know, it's a referendum. It goes to the voters of New York, of New York City. And it's just like, you know, how do you get through to people? It's just like, you know, everything is twisted. It's like you tell him, you know, we want a new investigation. Nothing adds up.
Did David let you talk, or did he hang up on you?
No, he let me talk, but Charlie certainly doesn't. If you mention 911, Charlie just hangs up on you. And it's like, you know, Mike, we've got the Lee Hamilton and Keene, the chairman and the vice chairman, and now in his new book, the 9/11 Commission chief counsel, John Farmer, in his own book, he says, at a time came when it was decided not to tell the American people the truth. Oh, that alone should bring upon a new investigation.
Dave, it says you have a question for Gerald.
What does
Can you jump to that real quick, if you wouldn't mind?
Well, what does he think about the New York Supreme Court just shutting down a referendum on the most flimsiest of terms and denying the people to redress grievances?
Okay, here comes Gerald.
David,
yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I was going to suggest, because it is LaRouche's contention, similar to what you just said, that the truth of 9/11 has never been told.
Absolutely not. We can prove that.
Absolutely. Now, as part of our activities, we have published a number of materials, and they, if it's okay with Mike, I will give you the website so you can go access them and read them.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, it's at the www.larouchepack.com.
Spell it.
That's LAROUCHEPAC.com. And on the larouchepack.com, all you do is put in Saudi involvement in 9/11 in the search function, and you will find the reports on the actual staff reports of the 9/11 Commission that were censored in the final report. And so this is something that we have put into circulation in Washington and have gotten out. And for obvious reasons, the people who were really behind 9/11 are yet to be identified. And this is something for the national security of the United States that absolutely has got to come out. So I agree with you totally that the truth, and as I said before, and as Mike and I discussed, in our lifetime, you had the John F. Kennedy assassination, and you had a bozo investigation called the Warren Commission,
right,
which was a cover-up.
There is no question in my mind that that is a correct statement.
I'd like to alert
bozo. What did you call it? A bozo what?
A bozo investigation. In my alert, put bozo in charge.
Uh-huh.
But this does get, and again, in an hour or 30 minutes, whatever's left, you know, we wouldn't nearly have the time to go over the depth of historical knowledge. And this is what I was trying to get at before, Mike, is that people got to look at the longer waves of history to understand that America is the greatest republic set up in the history of the world, and that it has been a dedicated opponent to the oligarchy, to empire, to monarchy, to communism, fascism, all the isms. This nation, a republic, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all,
is now turning into globalism.
It's turning into, and that
is
what
scary.
If you go on www.larouchepack.com you will find LaRouche's emergency program to return this nation to a sovereign nation state by addressing the bankruptcy of the financial system in exactly the opposite way that Obama, under the direction of Larry Summers and the so-called behavioral schnooks from the University of Chicago, who are a bunch of dedicated financial speculators being bought and paid for by the globalists, by the free trade looters.
Gerald, what does LaRouche think of Ron Paul?
Well, Ron Paul, who we've talked to quite a lot,
What do you think about him?
I'll tell you exactly. He has a bill that has 300 co-sponsors calling for auditing the Federal Reserve. That bill is totally right. And right now, Pelosi and Barney Frank are trying to figure out how to kibosh that because, in point of fact, and again, get on www.larouchepac.com, the inspector general that I talked about before, Borofsky, has said the Federal Reserve has not even let the public know where the public tax dollars have gone in terms of what AIG and what Goldman Sachs and other people are doing with the money. That they got taxpayers' money, they're not even telling the taxpayers. So absolutely, Ron Paul's bill to audit the Federal Reserve is right on. And in fact, the Federal Reserve should be put through bankruptcy itself. The Federal Reserve now holds half of the mortgages or guarantees half of the mortgages in the country, and they themselves are bankrupt. So this bankruptcy reorganization that LaRouche's emergency plan, which, by the way, you know, contrary to all the people who think no one is listening to LaRouche, LaRouche was just the main speaker at a conference of 500 government and religious officials on the island of Rhodes, which is a group called the Dialogue of Civilizations. That group is people who are tired of nations fighting each other and want to cooperate for economic reconstruction. And again, LaRouche is in the forefront. He met there with the Minister of Rails of the Russian government, Mr. Vladimir Yakunin, who then went with Putin and a delegation of Russians, and they've signed major agreements with China on a bilateral basis, not a globalization basis, but a nation-to-nation agreement to build the railroads, to build power plants, to build ports, infrastructure. Just like we built the Transcontinental Railroad to get us from New York to California, they're now wanting to build railroads to connect the sovereign nation states. And LaRouche is saying if India, which would be the third partner, and the United States, if U.S., India, Russia, and China, as sovereign nation states, agreed with this bankruptcy reorganization of this out-of-control debt and did that, then we could get the United States back in business as a producing nation. And all those unemployed people, California, 13-14% unemployment officially, probably more like 25 or 30% if you actually count the people who are self-unemployed or so-called, you know, not looking anymore. This is a national emergency, the collapse of the economy. And so that's, you know, how to judge why things like 9/11 are covered up. Because the financial powers that are really behind it don't want people to know that there's another game in town, that there are solutions, that globalization is a total failure. Let me give you one other example. Commercial real estate. You think the 2007 collapse of the subprimes was bad? You think 2008 with the collapse of the Lehman Brothers and the other Bear Stearns hedge funds was bad? That they were about a half hour from the whole monetary system blowing out then. Well, commercial real estate is now collapsing, and something like 90% of the banks in the United States are smaller banks, about 6,500 of them, according to Lawrence Tishman of New York. 6,500 banks have 75% or more of their assets in commercial real estate, which is going in the tank right now. And so the crisis that's coming is even greater by far than 2007 and 2008.
Gerald, can't you tell me something that'll make me smile once during this program?
Well, Mike, you know, you're a hard guy to please.
No, I'm not.
You know,
I can tell you something, Mike, that'll help you out.
Okay.
We found out where the anthrax from 9/11 attack came from. It was from a CIA contractor in New Jersey or in Utah. And the FBI, you got to read the article. It's called What the Anthrax Cover-Up is Covering Up. It was printed on the 20th this month by a fellow named Kissin, K-I-S-S-I-N.
And this is going to make me smile?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to check it out. All right, Dave, thank you very much for calling. We've got quite a number of other callers here we want to get to, okay? Appreciate it. That was Dave in Aromas. Here comes Marshall in Santa Cruz. Thanks for waiting, Marshall. You're on KSCO with Gerald.
You're welcome. I'm just listening to the radio.
Okay.
I'll try to make you giggle.
Good. I'm ready.
All right. Daniel is his name. He does the Cabrillo College show.
Yeah.
Okay. I called him the other day, and he had a show briefly just to show liberalism on. They were talking about why isn't there a trauma center on this side of the hill? You got to go all the way to Palo Alto. And I called in and I said, well, they just built a $55 million trauma center.
Drama Center?
Oh. And they wouldn't let me on the air. They didn't think it was funny.
Oh. You did make me laugh. That's good. Daniel seems very serious. I think he's got a sense of humor. I don't know him well enough. I've seen him a few times when I come in and out of the station, which isn't very often. But yeah, we're going to have to work on Daniel's sense of humor, I can tell you. Because I think he's got one. I really do. And thank you, Marshall.
What he was talking about, he was talking about people protesting with guns and signs with guns on them. And he said that if the people with the guns don't get what they want, they're going to shoot people. But the thing is we already have what we want. It's what's going to be taken from us.
Yeah.
It's totally reversed. And then he used this is where liberalism really is a mental disorder. When he says the right to bear arms in the Constitution means that you can put bear's arms on your wall. The founding fathers weren't idiots. They didn't write the Constitution as a puzzle or a riddle, and they wrote it to be interpreted just the way that it was written, not to be changed any way that you feel you can deceive the founding fathers. And I'll end on this. He said that he can't go to the voting booth without puking when he votes for a president.
Yeah. Until Obama was there.
If the founding fathers came back right now and saw what happened to their honest interpretation and real constitution, what has happened to it and all our rights being taken away, they'd be puking and crapping at the same time.
At the same time, simultaneously. from both ends.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Marshall.
Okay.
And I'm not just saying that. I really
Did I make
do
you
agree
giggle?
With you. I do, yeah. Okay. Right. Good. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Made my day. Marshall in Santa Cruz. There should be more callers like Marshall to the Saturday special. Because Marshall was able to evoke some, laughter from me on this otherwise very weighing, heavy Saturday special. Jim in Prunedale, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Michael.
Hey, Jim.
Couple of things this morning happened that led me to be inspired to give you a call. The first thing was early this morning we were reading some stuff, and my wife she's reading some stuff about the Holocaust deniers.
Yeah.
And she was mentioning, you know, how sick is it that somebody could, in this day and age, you know, deny what happened during the Holocaust. And then, you know, I turn on the radio and you have this LaRouche guy on, who LaRouche has gotten a lot of big push recently with these Obama as Hitler things.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to have generated a new wave of publicity. People have falsely blamed Republicans for that imagery, but it comes from LaRouche, LaRouche folk.
Okay.
And then to hear your mom's commentary about Israel, and I just got me to wonder, you know, you had said that you had in the past considered LaRouche kind of a nutcase.
Yeah, because that's the way it came across, the way he was portrayed in the media.
What do you know about him?
Nothing. That's why I was delighted to put Gerald on, who's still on with us, by the way. He's on hold.
Well, you know, I mean, it seems like you should, if you bring somebody on from an organization just because they're willing to, you know, to criticize the president's health care plan or whatever.
No,
of research about where the philosophy comes from.
No, you do the research. You do the research. I'm just here to provide a forum for people to talk, for anybody who cares to use it, as long as they don't get me sued or as long as they don't get me fined by the FCC. That's what KSCO is all about. I don't want to go. I'm not this great censorer. Who the hell am I?
Well, not a censor, but you should have some awareness of. When you're talking about somebody like LaRouche, it really is kind of a cult-like thing that's been going on for a long time. And
so?
You know,
So maybe it is. So what? Because cults have rights too, don't they?
I mean,
speech and free thought?
Well, like I say, I think all the Holocaust denying, you know, I mean,
Gerald, you're there on with us now, right?
He's referred to Israel as a hand grenade against the Arab world and stuff like that.
Who did?
LaRouche.
Jim?
You know?
Jim, are you there, Jim?
He was going to be assassinated by the Mossad and by MI5 and
Jim?
CIA. Yes.
Can you hear me, Jim?
Yes.
You're talking to Gerald Pechenuk. I'm a graduate of Hebrew Educational Society, and I've known LaRouche 35 years.
And are you Jewish, Gerald? I haven't asked you.
Yes,
that.
Yes, I am.
Okay,
I
figured you were, but I didn't know.
Yeah. And my question to Jim is, have you ever, I've read them, have you ever read the transcripts of the Nuremberg trials at the end of World War II?
No.
You haven't? Okay. I'm Jewish, and at the Hebrew Educational Society I went to, we were taught, if you see something happening over there, it's already over here. You don't wait. If you read the Nuremberg trials, if you read Dr. Leo Alexander, the guy who was the medical advisor, his statements, which stand today as the law of the United States, is, and you can go look it up yourself, you don't have to take my word or LaRouche's word for it, it says, whatever heinous crimes the Nazis committed, it all started off with a minute change in the attitude toward life, that such a thing as a life not worthy of life. So, far from what you and others have charged LaRouche with, which is totally wrong, LaRouche has said that the Holocaust did occur, as a matter of fact, and that the people who were actually responsible for it never got prosecuted and never got caught.
Right.
You could include Prescott Bush, who was on the board of Union Bank, which is a fact that we published in a book called The Unauthorized Biography of George H.W. Bush, the elder Bush, in 1992, in which we documented the documents where he was ordered to divest his holdings in Union Bank for their collaboration with the Nazis. So
I've been aware of that. You know, I mean, I know that, and you can believe whatever you want to believe. I was just saying that as far as you know, what is presented,
LaRouche is the leading anti-Nazi fighter in the United States, bar none. He has named the names that are beyond suspicion, which is why Averill Harriman and other people who were eugenicists, just like this Ezekiel Emanuel comes out of the Hastings Institute, which is run by the people. LaRouche's view is every human being is creative. Every human being is created in the image of God. Their view, the view of George Bush and these oligarchies in London, is man is a beast and that we got to cull the herd. You want your hair to stand up? Go read Bertrand Russell and what he said, that wars have been disappointing because they haven't killed enough people, but maybe we could have a black plague in every generation. There are your racist, genocidal maniacs. Try Bertrand Russell out for size. Try Aldous Huxley, who said we'd have concentration camps in the mind because they were going to give LSD out to kids in the 60s and 70s. There are your genocidal racist maniacs who are so-called respectable. You know why this country is in such a mess? Because that crap is respectable, and you have not had an opportunity to learn about LaRouche. Now, maybe you should go on www.larouchepack and actually read what the guy says instead of believing some second, third-hand smoke and mirrors from some
I've read what the guy says, and I've heard other LaRouche people in the past. And, I don't think Bertrand Russell's like a real big topic amongst most people. I don't think most people that are listening even know who Bertrand Russell is.
Well, they ought to find out.
Anyways, excuse me?
They ought to find out, because this is what's really behind 9/11.
I know who he is, but I don't think he's like the most evil man in history. I don't think that, I think that obsession is, like I say, I mean, what I was telling Michael is, you shouldn't find out about LaRouche from LaRouche.org. Just look at
Why not? Why not find out about someone from their own website? Why not? I mean, it seems to me that's the first place you would want to find out about what someone is all about from what comes out of their own mouth instead of someone else's mouth and someone's impressions.
Yeah, you can read what he said in the past, because they're not going to say everything that he said in the past on his website, Michael.
And you know something, Tim?
You know?
Go look at the young people who've joined LaRouche. One of them is the world's leading on Kepler, the scientist. Others are top people now studying Einstein, Riemann, Vernadsky, and are speaking at conferences. So LaRouche has trained some beautiful, intelligent young people that are going to be the leadership in the future, because they're steeped in the history of the United States and the tradition of a Republican nation state. And creativity.
Okay, Gerald. Gerald, do me a favor. I love you, but pipe down for a second here.
Wait a minute, Jim. And I've got to go, but.
Jim, pipe down for a second. I want to ask you a question, okay?
I've got to go.
It'll just take 2 seconds. Well, yes. 5 seconds. You seem to fault me for having an open mind for people's opinions across the board. Why is that? Why do you
fault you for having an open mind, but I think that when you have somebody on representing a long-standing organization or something, you should have some idea about what they're about, you know?
Why? Maybe,
okay, maybe not. I don't know. I just that's just the way I would do it if I was a moderator. I think I would have some kind of background. Anyway,
I choose to be an airhead and glean my background from the program itself.
Okay, well, I do enjoy your show sometimes. So
I'm happy. Bye. Okay, Jim, thanks. You have a good one. All right, here's Dan in Carmel Valley. You're on the air with Gerald and MZ.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, at the extremes we meet. That's a prophecy from the 80s.
I like that.
And you're playing a part in it, I do believe.
It's all I've ever wanted to do.
In August, I think mid-August of 2001, Lyndon LaRouche did a teleconference where he mentioned a phrase that I hear very little in the mainstream media or anywhere, even alternative media, so-called. And one of your previous host, Cyril Vitomsky, had a hard time uttering the phrase. He had to a couple times because it came up. It was sort of in the, it was a subject he needed to talk about. And I think Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Dared to mention it once. And maybe
we're
going to
try
NPR.
To get Amy on a future Saturday special.
Maybe
go ahead.
Even NPR dared mention it once, and that phrase is Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Lyndon LaRouche mentioned that, and actually it was the main subject of that conference. And he was talking about the need for cooperation between Russia and China and trying to get the stands involved and in on it to deal with the Western imperial power. And now seems like it's like either join them, you know, or get lost in the dust, because we don't really produce anything but bombs anymore.
Yeah.
And you can't bomb yourself into prosperity, really. But it was really interesting. It seemed to, and this is just before 9/11, and he seemed to be suggesting, you know, the need for that. And then that seemed to me to be what the rush into Iraq was, you know, which, you know, supposedly had nothing to do with 9/11, but somehow that was the rush into Iraq, was to start to create a wedge and get a grip on the stands, get the stands on the American side, to drive a wedge between Russia and China so they couldn't consolidate power to counterbalance the European and Western power. And that's what it seemed like to me. It was one of the main reasons for the Iraq War that almost never gets mentioned. And your guest is talking about that cooperation. And it sounds like good, although it depends. The devil's in the details. But the other thing that was really fascinating about this conference was that he also suggested to the people listening, I guess a lot of them were big investors, and he said, sit tight for 3 or 4 weeks. You know, don't make any big moves or changes. It's like he was apparently heeding the warnings that were all over the place that the Bush administration was very diligently ignoring. So there's just a lot of really strange shenanigans. I was wondering what your guest's take on any of that might be.
Gerald, heard you. Hope you can answer real quick, Gerald, because we got to get to a commercial break and two other callers.
Okay. I think to the caller's benefit to go on www.larouchepack.com, because there's a lot of details. The only thing I will say is that there can be cooperation, and there is a grouping in the American government. I've heard personally General Jones, the National Security Head, say, this was on the Charlie Rose show before he was in the administration, that the difference between America and Britain is we do not have colonial baggage in the United States. We should trumpet that out loud. LaRouche personally was in India in 1946 when the British were mowing down unarmed Indians and filling the streets with bloody bodies. And LaRouche took a vow then that he would support free and independent nations, the end of colonialism, his whole life. And this is one guy who has stuck to his guns, who has stuck to his commitments. At 87, he is revered in India. He is very well respected in Russia. He's been on the front page of the Chinese papers. And I commend Michael for having an open mind, whether he agrees or disagrees. But at least he's given all you guys a chance to find out the secret weapon of the United States that could get us out of this mess is Lyndon LaRouche. And he's as proliferous and prolific a writer as you'll see in your life. It's all out in the open. There's nothing in the back. There's no hidden agendas. Everything he's ever said is on paper, on TV.
Gerald, do you think we can get him on this program?
I think you could. He's just coming back from Rhodes. He's going to have a webcast on the 11th of November in Washington, D.C.
Talk to him about it, okay?
I'd love to have him on. Absolutely, we'll find out.
You know.
And I just, for those people who don't have internet, then call our office in L.A., 323 543-2426 to get any kind of literature that they request on the emergency program. But otherwise, most people, I guess, do have internet. So you can get on www.larouchepack.com. But I'll be happy to mail out to anyone who's who's not got the internet accessibility.
Okay. I want to thank Dan in Carmel Valley for his call. Hey, Dan, is it true that you, one of your neighbors is Rupert Murdoch? Is it true?
I believe there's a very large ranch that was pumping a lot of water. They called it the native grass project. I called it the Great Water Evaporation Project.
I heard that there's a coffee shop down there in Carmel Valley where you know Rupert Murdoch, who's the owner of Fox everything, you know, Fox News Channel, Fox Radio, Fox everything. He regularly goes in there and just sits down. You can sit and talk to him. Is that true?
I don't know. I don't frequent coffee shops.
I don't mean to be passing along rumors or anything like that. But
I have no idea.
Somebody I met who
I know
who
he
seemed...
owns a big ranch, and I don't know how often he actually visits it.
Right. Okay. Good. Well, but thanks for calling. When I saw you're from Carmel Valley, I couldn't help but ask you that. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate
it.
Okay, Nikki, it's time for us to do our commercial break, and then we will come back and talk with Steve in Watsonville and Rich in Salinas, and say goodbye to and thank our good friend Gerald here. So take it away.
Baker Brothers Furniture and Appliances.
When you want to make a house your home, take the short trip to Baker Brothers Furniture and Appliance in Watsonville. Hello, I'm David Baker, the family-owned Baker Brothers Furniture and Appliances. We are the oldest family-owned furniture store and appliance store in Santa Cruz County, serving you for over 40 years from one location. At our 14,000 square foot showroom, you'll find nice people, quality furniture and appliances at affordable prices. Next day delivery and professional service that will make your furniture and appliance shopping an enjoyable experience. And here's the best part. Baker Brothers is an old world company that steals business from the discounters.
Baker Brothers, we make it easy.
You might not be able to say it very easily. Apiary, that's what she said to me. Let me just tell you something about the rest. If you're into bees and beeswax, then you're into Pacific Crest.
Give the most this holiday season by giving the gift of honeybees. Hi, I'm Dana Mum of Pacific Crest Apiary's Honey Farm and Gift Store. Come out for a visit. We're just a stone's throw from Aptos at 875 Calabasas Road.
You'll find Dana's handcrafted beeswax candles in many styles, lots of delicious honeys, and a gift store stocked to the rafters with the kinds of gifts your loved ones will keep forever. Tuesdays to Sundays, 11 to 5. Directions at PacificCrestApiaries.com.
A proud member of Think Local First.
Back for me.
Pacific Crest.
Apiary.
Oh, how sweet.
Are you tired of wasting your hard-earned money? Well, J&S Surplus and Outdoor Store is the place to shop for Halloween costumes you can wear all year. That's right. It's the place to shop for wild and crazy costumes that you can still use for work, camping, fun, and a whole lot more well after Halloween is over. J&S is also featuring the Pumpkin Patch and Monster Mash Haunted Graveyard. We call it the Spook Shack and the Smokestacks, where you'll tour an old MASH hospital alongside a military graveyard that appears to have gone by the wayside, but beware of the ghouls and ghosts that lurk there. This exciting haunting event is now open and runs through Halloween night. Kiddie tours from 2 to 5 p.m. Thrill seeker tours from 5 to 9 p.m. J&S is your one-stop Halloween headquarters, open every day. It all happens right on Highway 1 in Moss Landing. Just look for the pirate flags outside. Or for more information and savings coupons, go online to www.surplusinc.com.
Hi, folks. Warren Knox here of Knox Roofing. We all have been given the Bill of Rights drafted by our forefathers. They gave us liberties and freedom basic to our American way of life. Well, I decided to create the Bill of Rights with the relation to your home. Your home has basic rights. It has the right to stand there proudly. Your home has the right to a leak-proof, fireproof roof. Your home has the right to be properly ventilated to avoid musty, trapped air and mold. Your home has the right to be insulated against the elements of heat or cold. Your home has the right to look nice, to stand tall and proud. Your home has the right to be protected by warranties and companies willing to be able to be there on a moment's notice. Your home has rights against insect and critter invasion. You know, if your home could talk, I'll bet its rights would be violated in some way or another. Here at Knox Roofing, we're here to defend your home's rights. Just give us a call at 461-0634. Okay, thanks, folks.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sun.
What fantastic creative commercials Warren Knox comes up with. He gets the KSCO Award of the Week or Year for creativity. It's wonderful. All right, we're in the finishing 5 minutes of the Saturday special. Got a great guest today, Gerald Pechenuk, who's been with us since the beginning of the program. And I want to share one little thing that happened. I said it's been a great positive week. One of the things that made it positive that I didn't even talk about yet, I visited downtown Santa Cruz to the office of the, I think it's Awake Media, forgive me if I got that wrong, Al Lundell, who was on the noon show with me. Corey Gold took the day off on Tuesday, and I interviewed Sylvia Panetta from the Panetta Institute in hour number one. And Al Lundell, who is a high-tech journalist extraordinaire, who's got a particular affinity for iPhone applications. And together, Al and I are cooking up a regular program here on KSCO about iPhone applications and other technology and things. But I went down to visit Al and his wife's son in their office in downtown Santa Cruz in the building that used to be the old County Bank building at the corner of Pacific and Cooper Street. And I was just enchanted, folks, about what's happened down there. There is so much cutting-edge commerce going on. There, that whole upper floor of the old bank building is now, I guess, what you would call a business incubator. And I think it's called Next Space, Inc., or something like that. And the former mayor of Santa Cruz, a young, bright fellow named Brian Coonerty, who's been on this station a time or two as a guest, is one of the driving forces behind that organization. And I was very, very impressed. I did the nickel tour, and he guided me through the place and showed me all of these companies, many of whom are from all over the world, who have opened up little cubicle offices in, I guess, what is fast becoming the place to be for the future here, right here in our town and city of life in Santa Cruz. So I really want to, it made me want to move KSCO, or at least an office of KSCO, down to that building or somewhere downtown and just have a presence there. Anyhow, I just wanted to acknowledge that. I was very, very impressed, and I would encourage that people who, at least in the past, have been shunning downtown Santa Cruz because you think it's full of a bunch of, weirdo liberals. You ought to open your eyes and take a look at what's going on right in our own hometown, downtown there. Some amazing, amazing things to be proud of. Back to the phones we go now. Steve in Watsonville, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for the show.
You
it's,
bet.
It's a good one. I just noticed some of the hypocrisy, and even in conversations with friends, I think people that watch TV have really been brainwashed. And some of the shows even use hypnotic techniques right from the very beginning, like Countdown with, what's his name? They count you down into essentially an inductive state and then feed you pablum. And it's true of all the shows, the left and the right, I think. It's really good to hear, some different and objective stuff from your station and your guests.
And you're going to hear a lot more of it. I'm getting tired of the left-right paradigm. I really am. I'm not saying we're not going to have that, because that what people want to talk about, we want to give them. But there's a whole different world out there. Steve, wish we can keep you on longer, but I got to get to Rich, and then we're gone. So thanks for your call, okay? Rich and Salinas, you're on.
Yeah. Hey, Michael,
sorry, I only got about 30 seconds. I apologize, but go ahead.
Not a problem, not a problem. The left-right paradigm, basically, they're working together. It's like a football team that's already got the game fixed. And so you can't believe either side.
Yeah.
A website that I wanted to let you guys know about as far as eugenics you mentioned, it's lifedynamics.com. And they have a video that this producer produced called Muafa 21, which shows the evolution from Charles Darwin and his cousin up to the current Roe versus Wade, where we have abortion on demand.
Wow.
And it shows why they did it and
okay.
how they did it.
That's it. I got to cut you off. I'm sorry,
okay,
Rich, but thanks for calling. Gerald, thanks for being with us. You're a great guest. Hope to have you on again. That's it. This program will be repeated tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight or on demand at Saturday Special. SaturdaySpecial.com.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, it's 12 noon.
Hello, I'm Karen Riegel. President Barack Obama declaring the H1N1 flu virus a national emergency. He signed a proclamation. When it comes to getting vaccinated against the two kinds of flu hitting us this year, there's good news and bad news. The good news, more Americans than ever are rolling up those sleeves and getting their standard flu vaccines early. About 60 million Americans have gotten their shots. The bad news, the popularity of the H1N1 vaccine is putting swine flu shots in short supply. Chicago Health Commissioner Dr. Terry Mason is considering this a delay and not a dead end.
We're really, really hopeful that everybody can get vaccinated.
Chicago started offering free vaccination clinics today. President Barack Obama says big banks got a hand up from taxpayers when they needed it. He's using his weekly address to urge them to return the favor with things like loans to small businesses.
The goal here is to get credit where it's needed most. The businesses that support families, sustain communities, and create the jobs that power our economy. That's why we enacted the financial stability plan in the first place.
Republicans stuck with health care reform, saying Democrats' plans are too expensive.
These proposals will negatively impact pocketbooks and paychecks.
Senator from Nebraska, Mike Johanns. Police say they've arrested a suspect in the murder of a 9-year-old girl in Missouri. That suspect is 15 years old. The body of Elizabeth Olton was found in a wooded area yesterday, 2 days after she vanished. Police are saying she did know the suspect. And in Orange Park, Florida, dozens of people have visited a makeshift memorial for 7-year-old Somer Thompson. Her body was found in a landfill in Georgia the other day. Police have not arrested any suspects in that case, and police say no witnesses have come forward. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind, 1962.
Roger, the clock is operating. We're underway. A little bumpy along about here. Roger, 0G, and I feel fine. Capsule is turning around. Oh, that view is tremendous.
Let me ask you one simple question. Do you, Ambassador Zorin, deny that the USSR has placed and is placing medium and intermediate range missiles and sites in Cuba? Yes or no? Don't wait for the translation. Yes or no?
I am not in an American courtroom, sir, and therefore I do not wish to answer a question that is put to me in the fashion in which prosecutor does. In due course, sir, you will have your reply.
I'm prepared to wait for my answer until hell freezes over, if that's your decision.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
An African Union report calling for a court to be assembled to investigate atrocities in Sudan.
The almost 150-page report compiled by a panel headed by South African President Thabo Mbeki said a court is needed within Sudan's judicial system. It called for amending Sudanese law to incorporate international law and says Sudan's security forces should no longer be immune from prosecution. The report also calls for a Truth and Reconciliation Committee to be set up as part of any Darfur peace deal. The Obama administration recently announced its announced renewal of economic sanctions in Sudan, but offered incentives to end the fighting in Darfur. Courtney Keeley, Fox News Radio.
Two Americans and one other NATO service member dead in Afghanistan after attacks by militants in the southern part of the country. NATO says troops killed four civilians when they fired on a vehicle approaching their convoy in Kandahar. Meantime, Taliban militants are promising a new wave of attacks as the country gets ready for a presidential runoff vote on November 7th. A Catholic priest found murdered in a New Jersey church.
The Reverend Ed Hines, dressed in clerical robes, found at about 8 a.m. Friday inside St. Patrick's Church in the affluent town of Chatham.
When they went to go check on him, they found him dead inside of the kitchen of the rectory.
Morris County Prosecutor Robert Bianchi saying Hines was the victim of a homicide and had what he called a significant amount of injuries. Violence considered rare in the town.
We're a little shocked. Shock to say the least.
Police are not discussing motives. No one's been arrested. Lisa LaSierra, Fox News Radio.
Mayumi Heaney, the mother of the so-called balloon boy, allegedly admitting in court documents that the whole event was a hoax. According to court papers, she admitted to deputies in Colorado that she and her husband Richard knew all along that six-year-old Falcon was not in that homemade helium balloon, but rather hiding in the garage. All done for a publicity stunt. The sheriff recommending criminal charges. Karen Regal, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned into KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Yeah, I got your Central Coast forecast for the weekend. Today we're going to have some sun and a little bit of clouds with a high of 72. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight partly cloudy with a low of 52. West northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday sunny skies, high of 73. North northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, southeast winds 10 knots becoming west 10 to 20 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 feet becoming 3 feet in the afternoon. West swell 4 to 6 feet at 12 seconds.